If you have a Bible, please turn it to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's pray together before we begin our study. Father, this morning we want to thank you for your great love toward us. Your love in that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. And Father, we pray this morning that you would help us to understand you and your love in a greater way. Father, we pray that you would help us by the Holy Spirit to understand your word this morning. God, we ask that you would do that great and mighty work in our hearts, in our lives, and help us to know the things that you've written to us, to apply them to our lives, Lord. And to live lives that are worthy of the calling that you have called us with. So, Father, we pray that you would give us ears to hear what your Spirit would say to the church here this morning. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. We're going to read verses 10 through 13 and stop there for this morning. Verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." This is a very familiar passage to most of us, I think. No doubt, if you've been in the church for any length of time, you've heard about the whole armor of God. You've heard about this thing called spiritual warfare. Have you? I think so. And a very popular passage here this morning, the whole armor of God. In fact, one that is taught and preached and studied and loved by many. And this morning we're going to begin sort of a two-part series in this whole armor of God, titled Armed for Battle. You know, in the world today, there are many battles taking place. Physically, I'm talking about wars, even rumors of wars, as we look around at our earth today. But this morning, we're going to start to learn about a battle that is taking place right now that is not physical. It is not between any two nations or people on this earth. It is a battle that is spiritual, and it is a battle that is real. Okay? You know, the tough thing about spiritual things is that you can't see spiritual things with your eyes. Did you know that? You can't hear spiritual things with your ears. You can't touch a spiritual thing. It's in a different kind of dimension, a realm, the spirit realm. And the Bible talks about it as a place where angels are. Unless, of course, they manifest themselves, they show themselves in physical form, which they can do, the Bible says. But there is a spiritual realm, and it is all around us. It's in this room right now, a spiritual as well as a physical realm. And I can see you, because I have physical eyes and you are physical people. But I can't see the spiritual realm that is here in this room or out there or anywhere that I go. I can't see them with my eyes. But that does not mean that they are real, or they are not real. Amen? It reminds me of a certain professor who said he was in his class teaching about something like evolution or something like that. And he said, "There is no God." And he said, "Let me prove that there is no God. Can you see God?" The student said, "No." "Can you touch God?" "No." "Can you hear God?" "No." "Can you smell God?" "No." So the teacher said, the professor said, he thought he was so clever. You see, there is no God. Well, one student was a Christian. He was saved. And he raised his hand. He said, can I say something? He said, yes. The professor said, yes. And the student said, I'm going to prove that you don't have a brain. Can you see your brain? No. Can you touch your brain? No. Can you smell your brain? No. Can you hear your brain? No. You see? No brain. Just because something can't be felt and touched and seen with our physical bodies does not mean it is not a reality. Does not mean it's not there. And that's the truth about the spiritual realm that is here as well as the physical realm. And that is what these verses are talking about this morning, the whole armor of God and spiritual warfare that we're going to take a look at in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. It says here in verse 10, finally, my brethren. You know, we've been studying chapter by chapter and verse by verse through the book of Ephesians. Beginning in chapter 1, verse 1, now we're toward the end of the book. Chapter 6 is the last chapter. And the Apostle Paul, he's been talking about wonderful things that God has given to us. He's been talking about our lives, how we should live according to the things that God has given to us. Meaning if he's given you strength to love, then we should live a life of love. And finally he comes to the last portion of this letter that he is writing in verse 10. And he doesn't want to forget this very important thing. That's why he says in verse 10, finally, my brethren. And that really means this. I'm going to tell you something. You've been learning about all these things, but I'm going to tell you something now that is very important, and I want you to remember. I want you to take these words I'm writing. Of course, he wanted all of them to be remembered and thought of. But he's saying here, finally, this is an important thing. This is something you need to know. Paul says, and this morning, I enjoy preaching because I know this is something that we all need to know. We need to know about these things. And we'll see why as we continue through the passage. It says here, be strong, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The first thing we're going to look at in these first four verses, there I said it, is the strength that God provides. The strength that God provides. You see, we're going to be learning about a great battle, a great war, a great fight that we are involved in. And in order to fight effectively, you have to be what? Strong. Right? If you're some weak person, you know you're not very good at fighting, I think. But in order to fight effectively, you must be strong. In fact, in order to do anything good for the Lord, you must be strong. Did you know that? You have to be strong in order to do anything good for the Lord. And that's why Paul says before he starts talking about the warfare, and after he has already finished talking about the life that we live, he says this, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. This morning we need to know one thing. We need to know this. We must have God's strength. We must have His power because our strength, my strength, your strength, is not strong enough. Amen? Our strength is not strong enough for the things that we have to do. I've given the illustration before. If you're in a boxing ring, you know that sport, boxing? And there's a guy, maybe Mike Tyson. I think he's strong. If you're standing there, you have one side Mike Tyson, you have the other side Pastor Brian. Who's going to win? Pastor Brian, you're right. Physically, no. I'm not as strong as Mike Tyson. That may shock some of you and surprise you. You know, we need strength to be able to do certain things. And listen, our strength is not strong enough for the things we have to do. It's not even close. It's not even half. It's not even a quarter. It's not even 1/1,000th of the strength that we need to do what God is calling us to do, to fight in this spiritual battle. And Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We are not strong enough to fight against Satan by ourselves. Amen? Even if we all joined together, locked arms, and we tried to fight against Satan, we are not strong enough even together. We need God's strength. We need His power. We need His might. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says this. Some of you know it, I think. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I'm not strong enough to fight, to walk, to do all of these things. But I know someone who is. It is Christ. And I can do some things through Christ who strengthens me. No. That was a trick. That's not what the verse says. It doesn't say I can do some things through Christ who strengthens me. It doesn't say I can do many things through Christ who strengthens me. If God is calling you to do something, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And God has the strength. God is strong enough for what we need to do. Even when the enemy is stronger than us. Even when the enemy is stronger than us. I'm going to give you an illustration about a certain guy in the Old Testament. His name was David. Do you remember him? He was a king for much of his life, but before he was a king, he was just a boy. You know, here in Uganda, you're a boy until you get married, then you're a man. So that could be any time period. But he was, let's say, a teenager. And David had certain brothers who were warriors. They were fighters in the army of Israel. And his brothers went out to fight against these people called the Philistines one time. And David was left at home to watch the sheep. You see, he wasn't a warrior. He wasn't strong. He was just really a boy, as we would say here. Much like myself, except I'm married, so I'm a man now. So these guys, his brothers, went out to fight against the Philistines. And when they went to this camp, there was a valley in between and two hills. One hill was Israel, the people of God. The other hill was the Philistines. And every day, a certain guy would come out of the camp of the Philistines and shout, threaten the camp of Israel. Do you remember his name? Goliath, yes. His name was Goliath. There was something unique about this guy. He was a bit tall. Right? He was actually over 9 feet tall, almost 10 feet tall. Now that's tall. Taller than Ofono. And not only was he tall, he was wide. He was big. His weapons weighed more than probably one section of the room. He was big and strong and powerful. And each day he would come out and say, I defy the armies of Israel. I defy the God of Israel. Let one person come out and fight me. And whoever wins, that will be the winner of this battle. And whenever the guys from the other camp of Israel would hear him shout, do you know what they would do? They would hide underneath the table. They would run and hide behind a tree. Because they were afraid of him. Because he was big and powerful. I think you know the story. David comes to deliver some cheese, some breads to his brothers who were fighting. And he's walking, just a small boy, you know, a teenager. And he was walking and he hears Goliath say these bad things about God, about Israel, about the people of God. And it makes him angry. And he starts to talk. Who is this guy that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine, he said. And his brother said, shut up. Go home. You don't know what you're talking about. You're just small. Get out of here. You're not even a warrior. You don't even have a sword or anything. And you know the story. They bring him before King Saul, and Saul says, okay, let me put my armor on him if he wants to fight. You see, David wanted to fight. He wanted to go against this guy, even though he was a small boy and Goliath was a giant man. He wanted to fight against him. Do you know why he wanted to fight against him? David knew that God was stronger than Goliath. David knew even though he was weak, God was strong, and David was strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know the rest of the story. The armor doesn't even fit on David because he's small. So he says, thank you, to the king. Let me just go out there. And he has a sling, and he brought some stones out of the river. And Goliath, when he saw David, he laughed. Am I a dog that you should bring, this guy out here, this little boy out here? And the Bible says David was handsome, but he was small in appearance. And you know the story, Goliath stands there and David says, you come against me with a sword and a spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord our God. And he killed Goliath that day. I love that story. Because Goliath was big. Goliath was stronger than David. But Goliath was not stronger than the Lord our God. This morning we need to start with this verse. We need to know we are weak in ourselves, but in God we are strong. We are powerful because of God and His strength. We need His strength. In fact, the Bible says that, it gives this principle, that the weaker we are in ourselves, in our own strength, the stronger God can be in our lives. Did you know that? In fact, the Apostle Paul said that same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And he, that's talking about God, God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul said, most gladly I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Did you hear that this morning? I want you to go home and read that verse again after you get done from the meeting together today. Go home and read that verse again and really think about it. When you are at your weakest, when you think to yourself, my strength is gone, I have no power, I have nothing to do. When you are there, God says, that is when my strength is made perfect in your life. We think I'm weak, and God says, you're not weak, because I'm going to make you strong. Praise the Lord. In verse 11, Paul continues by saying, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And so he introduces this idea about the armor of God. You know what armor is, don't you? You've seen pictures of, we're going to see next week as we study through the pieces of the armor, that he was probably thinking of this Roman soldier. Paul lived at the time of the Roman Empire. They controlled the whole world, and it was because their army was so strong. Their soldiers were so strong, and each soldier would have armor. Things like a belt and a breastplate. We'll look at all these things. A sword and a shield, a helmet. All of these things, their shoes were special shoes for fighting and for advancing. And that's the idea of armor. Put on the whole armor of God. We'll look at that next week, each piece of armor as we continue in our passage. But Paul is saying this, I want us to notice this. He says, put on the whole armor of God. The entire armor of God. And that means this. God has given us every piece of armor that we need to fight against the devil and his army. Every piece. He hasn't left any piece out. He hasn't given us everything except for a helmet. No, he's given us all that we need, all the armor we need to fight against the devil and his armies. And Paul is encouraging us, and I'm encouraging, and God is encouraging all of us today to put on the whole armor of God. Don't just put on half the armor of God. Imagine if you just put on half of your clothes this morning. We may not let you in the sanctuary. But when you're going to fight a battle, you need to be sure you're putting on all of the armor of God. We need it all, every piece. In fact, I think about our soldiers, whether here in Uganda or wherever. Soldiers who go out to fight a battle, they put on certain pieces of armor. Even today, they have a gun and some of these backpacks and, you know, camouflage, all of these different things. And they go out to fight. But imagine a soldier who says, you know, I'm going to go fight against this army who's stronger than him. But I don't really think I need my helmet. Just puts it down. Okay, maybe if you don't have a helmet, you know, you could get shot in your head. I don't know. That's fine. And then he says, no, you know, I don't need my backpack with all of my supplies. I'll leave that there. Okay. You know, this camouflage suit, I don't need it. I just take it. He takes off his clothes and only has his undergarments on. This gun, you know, I don't think I need it. I'm just going to go fight. And can you imagine such a man running to fight a battle? No. Put on the whole armor of God, it says here. Put on the entire thing. Every piece that we study about next week, you can read ahead and learn what each is, even today after service. But every piece is for us, and it is all that we need to fight in this battle. It will help us to stand against the wiles of the devil. So, here in verses 10 through 11, we've seen the strength that God has provided for us. God's strength and God's armor. And secondly, this morning, we're going to look at Satan's strategies. Do you know who Satan is? He's that guy with a red suit and a pitchfork and a long tail. No, that's not really him. He's the enemy of our souls. He is our worst enemy. He hates us, every one of us, unless, of course, you don't follow Jesus, then he likes you. Actually, he still hates you, but he's happy you're not following Jesus. You don't have to worry about fighting against him because you've already lost if you're not following Jesus. And Satan is the enemy, the deceiver. And he is our greatest foe. And it says in verse 11, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil is Satan. We need to know that, and I think this is the most important thing through this study in Ephesians chapter 6, that we can teach ourselves, have God teach us. We need to know that right now, as I speak, right now, we are in a spiritual battle. We need to know that. Right now we are in a spiritual battle. He doesn't say here that we should go into the battle. Did you notice that? He doesn't say put on the armor so that you can go into the battle. He says be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might because you are already in the battle. We are already wrestling against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this age and spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. We are here. And if you don't know that, it's probably because you've already been knocked down. If you don't know that today, that we are in a battle today. Since you put your faith in Jesus and decided to follow Him, that Satan has your name, and he wants to destroy you and me. And today we are in a battle. Today we need to put on the armor. Today we need to be strong. He doesn't call us to go in. We are here. And many of us, we feel as though life is bad and things are not going good. And the reason is because we're fighting. We're in a war. Some of us have already been knocked down to the ground. Some of us have already been hit with fiery darts, the Bible says. And that's why this passage is so important for us to know. We are in a battle right now. And so, that's why we need to have these verses that God has written for us. That's why we need to learn them and know them, because God is telling us right here how to have victory in the battle. How to defeat our enemy. How to stand in the battle. The wiles of the devil. What does that word wiles mean? We don't use that word too often. That word wiles, it means strategies. You know, if you're a commander of an army and you're going to fight another army, you have to have certain strategies in order to win, right? You have to say, okay, I'm going to do this this day. I'm going to send this part of the army over there. And you have strategies, tactics, plans. And this word wiles here for the devil, it includes the idea of tricks, deception. Whenever there's a battle, oftentimes you can find there are spies. Do you know what a spy is? Some guy who pretends to be on your team, but really he's on the other team. A spy. That's part of wiles. That's part of deception. And that is what Satan is good at. He has methods. And do you know something? I'm going to talk about Satan and his demons here for a while, and just to give a biblical idea of it. But this is the truth about him. He is very clever. And I'm not going to spend too much time on him, because I think that today in our church we have a overemphasis on the devil and demons. I think that's true. For example, there was a small cartoon I saw, and it had a picture of a guy. He was a mechanic at a garage, and the man came into the mechanic, and the man said to the mechanic, "You know, can you look at my engine? Because I think that a demon has entered my engine. That's why the car has stopped. The engine is possessed with a demon of not starting." And I think we can talk too much about the devil and Satan, and all the time, you know, I'm addicted to cigarettes, so I have the nicotine demon. So we talk about Satan so much. That's wrong to go on that side. But it's also wrong to not know enough about him, to not know who we're dealing with. In fact, a very godly woman named Corrie Ten Boom said the first step on the way to victory is to recognize the enemy. And this morning, we're going to attempt for a few minutes to recognize who our enemy is, because if you know your enemy, you can develop ways in which to defeat him. If you don't know him, you don't know about him, pretty good chance you're going to be defeated. And Satan is our enemy. And he has tricky deception that he uses. That's called the wiles of the devil. Do you remember Eve, that first woman? She experienced this very verse even before it was written by Paul. She experienced the wiles of the devil. Do you remember that? The serpent, that's Satan, came to her and said, "Why don't you eat this nice fruit?" And she saw that it was good and it would make her wise and all of these things. And she said no. God said no. And Satan said no. God didn't say no. He just doesn't want you to know things like he knows them. And so finally Eve was deceived, the Bible says, by Satan, because he's tricky. Do you know Satan has been around for a long, long time? He's a lot older than you are. And that means he knows a lot. In fact, he has the whole Bible memorized. He knows human nature. He knows how to attack somebody and to defeat them. He's a professional at fighting. Professional fighter. That's our enemy. Imagine if I had, if for 10 years I studied mathematics. I'm not very good at math. I can do some addition, maybe some multiplication, all of that. Imagine if I had 10 complete years just to study about mathematics. And I studied and studied. At the end of 10 years, I would be pretty good when it came to mathematics, right? I would be able to do those equations and all of that pretty good. What about 50 years studying about mathematics? I'd be good. What about 100 years? I'd probably be better at mathematics than like Albert Einstein and those other guys. 1,000 years studying about mathematics. You better know the guy is good at mathematics, right? Well, listen, Satan has had thousands and thousands and thousands of years to learn about how to destroy you and to destroy me. It's serious. And he's destroying believers every day. And God wants us to sit here this morning and to know that with God's strength, we can stand. Even though our enemy, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, God is more powerful than the devil. And God is saying to us here today, just read my word. Just look at my word. Just take those things and apply them. Take the armor and put it on. Take my strength and receive it. And stand against the wiles of the devil. Against the tricks, against the attacks of the enemy. And it says here, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, verse 12. But against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this age. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And this is talking about Satan's army. Okay? He's the commander-in-chief, but he's not the only one. You know, Satan, this is a misconception. Many people think that Satan is the opposite of God. Some people think that. Maybe you. I don't know. That's not true. In fact, Satan is not the opposite of God. One example is this. Satan is not eternal. God is. Satan was created as an angel. God was never created. God is more powerful than Satan. But he's still powerful. And he has these principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this age and spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. It's talking about kind of a leadership, levels of ranking within Satan's army. Much like today in our army, in the UPDF here, you would have different levels of officers and fighters. And you go up to the top to, I think, Museveni, he's there at the top. And so they have ranking. Officers and officials, that's what it's talking about here. Principalities, those demons who are powerful, who are controlling of others and wickedness in heavenly places. And so, because of all this, because of Satan and his demons and his army, the Bible says to take up the whole armor of God. And verse 13, and that leads us to our last point this morning, standing in the evil day. We've looked at the strength that God provides along with his armor. We've looked at Satan's strategies. He is a serious opponent, a serious foe, more powerful than us, but not more powerful than God. And finally, we're looking at our standing in the evil day. Isn't that what we want to do? Isn't that what you want to do? Be able to stand firm in the battle that we're fighting? I don't know about you, but if I'm in a battle, I would rather be standing firm than on my back on the ground. Amen? In fact, I would rather be standing firm than running away. Amen? For example, this armor, you notice if you read through it, all of the armor is for the front of the person. There's no armor for the back. God hasn't provided anything if you want to turn and run away. I'm sorry. You better stand. No armor for the back. Okay. It says, be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. In case you didn't know this morning, we are living in the evil day. Did you know that? I hope you do. You look at our world today, it doesn't matter what country you're in, it doesn't matter where you are, you can see that there is wickedness happening everywhere. There's sin and rebellion against God and perversion and fighting and all of these different things. It's an evil day today, being promoted in every way possible. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, it says that we should redeem the time because the days are evil. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, we know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Not only are the days evil, but our enemy kind of has control over the people that are evil. And so we need to remember this. We're fighting him on his own turf. We're invading his ground. We're invading his kingdom because he is the one who is working in the sons of disobedience, the Bible says. And so, we are living in the evil day. That means we need to stand. We need to stand firm. We need to stand strong. It says, verse 13, having done all to stand. And I'm going to close with this. This question. Are you doing all that you can to stand in the strength, in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know that this is a serious thing? That this is a real battle? That there is a spiritual realm? Are you ready today to... No, I was about to say enter into the battle, but we're here already. Are you ready today to get up off of the ground and stand for the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if you're ready, Jesus is ready to say, here's my power, here's my armor, go out and fight. Let's fight today, amen? Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Father, we pray this morning that you would, by your Holy Spirit, come and deliver your truth into our hearts. God, we thank you so much that you have given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. You've given us everything we need, Lord, to stand against the enemy. Thank you so much, Lord, for your strength. Thank you so much, Jesus, for your power that is available to us. Thank you, Lord, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Thank you, Lord, that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us and gave himself for us. And Father, we pray that this morning those who are defeated, those who are saved but they're not living in victory, we pray that this morning those would have a special empowering by your Holy Spirit, that you would help us to get up off of the ground and to stand in the power of your might. Father, we need you. Spirit, we need you. We pray that you would do a mighty work in our lives. Help us not to be disqualified, Lord, in this battle that we're fighting, in this race that we're running. And Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.